Welcome to the Rosenbox,
where dancers go for show prep and candid chat. I'm Claire Kretschmar.
And I'm Aron Sands, and we are dancers with New York City Ballet.
So we're here at the Rosenbox, and today's
That's where we are!
Today's topic is health and wellness with Janelle Manzi, and she is the founder of Get Golden, which is a new business that makes and shares healthy granola bars. And she's going to talk to us about the business and how that all started, but she's also, of course, a ballet dancer at New York City Ballet, longtime quarter ballet dancer, and like a really just a strong presence in the company who's been consistent and beautiful throughout all of the different seasons of her journey.
Yeah, I was just saying how I feel like I have renamed her the wellness guru of City Ballet because she's a, you can tell she's a very curious person that has either learned or is currently reading and learning and getting more information about many different wellness topics that are connected to ballet and not connected to ballet. And she has really good memory too. She will like at whatever genre that you might be interested on in the wellness field, she will have names for products that she has tried herself. So she has really good memory to be able to like quote back a lot of products for different things, as well as places. We're like, there's this place downtown, and then there's this person here. So she's kind of like a directory and like a fountain of knowledge when it comes to all around wellness.
Definitely. And she, when I was in the company, she was one of the people that I contacted for like a very specific need of some sort. And I remember, like, I specifically remember asking her, or maybe she shared with me this because she was so excited about this, but like a special face mask that I received from her. Either she told me about it and I bought it, or I got to try a little bit of hers. And I remember I was like, wow, this is an amazing product. I would not have known to buy this product, but I'm so glad that she was able to share that wisdom with me. And it really helped my skin, especially when we were dancing a lot. So after that experience in particular, I was always going to her because I knew that she gave me one excellent recommendation, and that just the way she talked about different health products or just products in general, I was like, oh, I can trust her insight on these things because chances are she's tried it and learned what's good and what's not
good. The do's and the don'ts.
Yeah, the do's and the don'ts of the health and wellness industry, which can honestly be so overwhelming because everybody has the product that says they're going to save you and heal
the miracle product.
The miracle product. So it's really nice for me, and I think for other dancers too, that Janelle is this presence at New York City Ballet who is a friend, who you can trust, who can share this insight. And now, of course, she has this company which is just growing and is really exciting to watch and even to have seen it grow from an idea into like a product into something that's being disseminated now and all over the country, really, and all over the world, perhaps. So anyway, we will welcome her onto the podcast now.
And yeah, let's hear from Janelle herself.
So Janelle Manzi, wellness guru.
Yeah, let's welcome her.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're excited to hear from you and hear what you know and what you've learned about keeping your body in good health, and also hear about the business that you're cultivating because you're both a ballerina and an entrepreneur. But first, can you tell us, how did you get to New York City Ballet? How long have you been here? And what inspired you eventually to get into nutrition and wellness?
Well, first, I have to thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm excited to share my story. This means a lot. My grandmother took me to New York City Ballet when I was four, and I fell in love with ballet, and she helped me write a postcard to Darcy Kistler, who was a sugar plum fairy at the time, and she wrote a postcard back, and the postcard said, "Always follow your dreams." I still have the postcard. I had her sign it when she retired, and that single sentence has kind of always been something that is my guiding light in terms of just being a dreamer and always just trying to see see light in any situation. And I continued to dance at Miss Patty's and in the Spotlight in New Jersey. That's where I was born. And when I was around 11 years old, my mom asked me a really crucial question, which was, we can't continue training here. We're going to have to change schools. You're going to have to leave your friends. And we're going to have to start taking ballet class in New York City. And I mean, clearly my answer was, let's do this. Yes. And I auditioned for the School of American Ballet when I was 11. And I got in and I trained there from 11 to 16. And 16 was the age when I got into New York City Ballet, and I was just a junior in high school. Looking back, I can't believe how young I was. And I think that also really kind of made certain decisions harder for me, let's say when my injuries happened, which I'll get into. But the first few years were so blissful. I mean, it was everything I had ever wanted, and I've always loved to dance, and it was a dream of mine, and so life was blissful. And as we all know here, the stage and everything is just so special, and yeah, it was a dream. But then about 2 years into dancing with the company, I started to feel pain in my ankle, and it was diagnosed as osteogonums. For those that don't know, osteogonums are very common. It happens in 1 in 3 people actually have them, and they're extra bones in the foot, and they primarily impact ballet dancers and soccer players due to the plantar flexion of the ankle. And mine were quote unquote safe, and the quickest fix was to have a cortisone injection. And me being young and naive and not really wanting to take time off, I think any dancer really doesn't want to not dance. We love to dance, and we will do anything to be on the stage, in the studio, and especially when you're young and you don't know the repercussions of, let's say, pushing through things or having a quick fix. I went ahead and did just that. I got my first cortisone injection. It semi-worked. I rehabbed 6 months later, back in the same boat. Got another cortisone injection. Why I did that, I do not know. It was my own choice, and something like, yeah. You don't know certain things until you do.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, about a year after this process of the second cortisone injection working for about another 6 months, I was back at square one. So this was a year later. So I'd lost a year of semi-dancing in a boot cast and then back at square one with more inflammation. And the decision was to go in there and have exploratory surgery at the time because it was so swollen that no one really knew exactly what was going on because it was clearly worse. It turns out the bones had broken off and they had torn my tendon. And so I had to have the FHL tendon repaired.
Wow.
The bones taken out. And by the time that process had finished and I had gotten out of the cast and learned how to walk in a pool, it was 2 years from the start of the first diagnosis of the osteogonum to coming back from that injury. And as I rehabbed from that injury, it was also a phase in my life where I was definitely growing. I was a young woman. I was 18. And you deal with a lot of compensation issues, injuries, things like that. And I really struggled to consistently stay healthy injury-wise. And they would always be just small injuries here and there due to either compensation, other small injuries. I think that's basically it. And that was probably one of the most confusing times for me, just feeling so frustrated and not really knowing exactly what to do. We're lucky at New York City Ballet to have wonderful physical therapists, but sometimes you really do need to do your own research and have outside support when things get really complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, things got even more complicated when I started to develop a bunch of food sensitivities and allergies, and I would break out into hives. My lips would swell. My hands would get super bright red for no reason, or no reason at the time. And my body was just so angry, injured, on and off, allergies, couldn't eat anything I normally could eat, and I was really lost. And so you name the doctor, I went to them, patch test, this allergy test. And it wasn't until my Pilates instructor at the time, Marimba, she's so wonderful, had introduced me to a nutritionist, Donna James, who worked in a more holistic way versus, let's say, just giving you a specific diagnosis and you following this diet plan. And she introduced me to meditation, TCM, acupuncture, nutritional healing, and all these different ways that are really focused on the whole self and the body working as a system versus, let's say, just focusing on diet, just focusing on one thing, which is what I was doing before, because you don't know what you don't know until you really try and learn or put yourself out there to learn, you know? And I would say that that small amount of time from Arumba introducing me to Donna James clearly changed my life, because I wouldn't be here today, one, dancing, two, with a completely different, I guess, identity and perspective. So from that point on, I became fascinated with the body, how it worked as a system, and became fascinated by inflammation and sports nutrition and exercise physiology. And the more I read about it and the more I did my own research and tried things out for myself and began to heal my body, and the allergy started to calm down, and you learn about the gut microbiome and how stress impacts your gut, and all of these things just started to connect, and my inflammation started to go down. I knew I was on to something. And what that means is that I found something outside of ballet that gave me such excitement and a sense of purpose and a sense of curiosity, where I was just so excited to read about this stuff and so excited to learn more, not only for myself, but also to share, which is when I started my blog, my baking blog, where I would post pictures of muffins and different things. Looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, these pictures weren't that good. I thought that they were great.
It was a different era.
It was
era.
The phone quality.
It was a different
or the
era.
Computer camera
we
quality.
Tried. We were really trying.
Yeah, it's we're all the whole as a community, we're all there.
So that blog for me, because I was still going through it, I was still dealing with like an injury here and there. It was a way for me, and I think any dancer, whether you're a professional or not, I think it's magnified when you're a professional dancer. And particularly in New York City Ballet, we have a community, and you show up to the dressing room every single day. You show up to rehearsal, you show up to class, and they're your family, they're your community. And you develop this bond with people that you don't have. It's stripped away when you're injured, because all of a sudden you're not coming to class, you're not in the dressing room, and you lack this sense of community, especially when you're younger and you don't have, let's say a family or a spouse or other circles, because we've trained our whole lives since we were young to be a ballet dancer. And then you become a professional and that is your primary network. And when that's stripped from you, especially the first time you're injured, it's a huge wake up call. And so for me, the blog was a way for me to feel like I was giving back and communicating and creating community, because I couldn't find that. And I was deeply sad that I didn't have it. And the back and forth between particularly moms and daughters on my Instagram and then through the inbox on the website, that was pretty much just the guiding light that I knew that whatever I was doing was what my purpose was at that time.
Was reaching someone.
Reaching someone and was, the right path. And, I would get messages about, thank you so much for talking about this issue. My daughter deals with this injury. We're really struggling for this. Do you have any recommendations? And, or you're such an inspiration for doing this. We're just so grateful that someone's speaking up about allergies, about injuries. And it gave me a lot of joy. And so that was pretty much the jumping off point, and started sharing more recipes. And there was a bus ride to the Kennedy Center where I was constantly sharing. I brought some fudge squares.
The fudge squares.
There's a lot of good goodies here on the table at the podcast today.
I could say so much about the fudge squares. Later. Anyway, continue.
So I was constantly bringing in snacks and baking and making things, whether they were bars, fudge squares, chocolate cups, all of these different things, spreads. My gosh, Claire.
I was a big tester of a lot of Janelle's creations because so at the time when I was in the company, I lived like two doors down from Janelle. And so I would just go over to her house and she would be always making something and she would give me a sample or anyway. Oh my gosh, it was just such a special time. And I felt like I got to be a little insider.
You were.
Like
not accomplice, but a tester of your creations, which is just so, it's such a fun time.
And a witness of it all being
totally
developed.
Yeah, and this is getting a little off topic, but like I've gotten to see like both Janelle and then also the work from like the seed of her interest in health and wellness. So anyway, continue. You made stuff for the Kennedy Center bus.
I made stuff for the bus ride, and I'm passing out these chocolate cups at the time. And I remember Sarah Adams, who's a dancer in the company. Janelle, you should sell these. You should start a company. Because I was trying to figure out what photo to use to post the photo. And the photo wasn't even that good, but like we'll pretend it was. And she was like, you don't post this. You should sell these.
Oh.
And it was a light bulb moment for me where when I was injured, I would go to female founder events in New York. This was pre-COVID, and we're now lucky to have a lot of those events back up and running. But there is so much information out there for anyone that wants to start a business or learn about something. And so you name the event I went. It was legal structuring event, Cherry Bombs University, where you learned all the different types of, let's say, like how you could build your first deck to raise capital, how you could, how do you hire your first employee, things like that. Did I know I was going to start a company? No, but I was in this phase of just really wanting to learn. And I felt really excited to be surrounded by particularly female founders and women that were just really strong and doing something. And that was where I also got some of my first mentors. So anyway, I had this light bulb moment and I was like, I'm going to do this. I can do this. And I called Marimba again, my Pilates instructor. Who's your lawyer? Can you introduce me to him? I need an LLC. And in that hotel room, I called her lawyer, signed for an LLC, and Get Golden was born. I came up with the name pretty much on the spot. It was mostly about wanting to create a company that was about radiant energy and wanting people to feel like their most vibrant selves, especially as anyone in life has really dark moments and then really light moments. And everyone has a fitness journey. Everyone has different moments, whether it's stress-related, whether it's exercise-related, where you want to feel like your best self. That's, I would think anyone dreams of feeling like their best, most energized, strongest self. And I wanted a name that was pretty neutral, but also would remind people of that journey. So yes, the LLC was born. And I came back to New York and filed for my at-home kitchen license.
A what kitchen license?
New York State at-home kitchen license.
At-home kitchen license.
Yes, and there's lots of legality with how that works, and you can't sell certain things in New York State at a farmer's market pop-up when you have an at-home kitchen license. So that also kind of changed what I was going to make and what I was going to potentially sell. And so fast forward, I would say probably 6 months, I realized that me baking granola bars out of my toaster oven was not a solid business plan. And I was dancing and dancing a decent amount, and I loved ballet, and I knew that if I wanted to do both, which is exactly what I wanted to do, this was more a passion side project at the time, I had to figure out a better way. And I had been saving money since I was very young to put a down payment for an apartment, and I knew that I had done a lot of research in terms of reading co-manufacturing books and going to different events, and I hired two of my friends on contract that worked in beauty at the time to help me bolster what I needed, all the things that you don't know, because there are a lot of things you can do, but there are a lot of things, especially when we are ballerinas and a lot of our life has been doing one thing, and there are skills that I'll have to admit, like I don't have, and it's a constant journey to figure out where those loopholes are and whether to hire someone because it's out of your skill set or whether you can learn that skill. So for me at the time, it was important to bring two people on that could really help me. And so we found our first co-manufacturing plant and started building out Get Golden. And this was all while I was dancing. And any layoff that we have, layoff for New York City Ballet is a period of time where we are off. It's in between either rehearsal period or performing. So we have a lot of free time. I wasn't going on vacation. I was doing the groundwork and really trying to bring this passion project to life. And fast forward to 2019, we really just were building the company to launch it summer of 2020, which turned out to be, as all of us know, the summer of COVID,
mm-hmm.
New York City Ballet would then be off for 18 months, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I don't know, I believe in kind of divine timing and how certain things just work out how they're supposed to. And it really was, while it was the hardest time launching a direct consumer portable product during a pandemic, especially, this is also something that I think is becoming a little bit more normalized and spoken about, but being an entrepreneur, especially in the early days, but I would think also later on, it can be very isolating. And you spend a lot of time just yourself and your computer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And pair that with a global pandemic, living by yourself in New York City, a lot of your friends left. It was really hard. But on the plus side, I was able to eventually sublet my apartment in New York and move to California where my sister lives and where our first manufacturing plant was because New York City Ballet was off.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we didn't come back dancing for about 14 months before we started rehearsing again to live in California and really hit the ground running and try and build this company in a bigger way than I thought I was going to have to.
Mm-hmm.
And it became, yeah, how I paid myself. And yeah, my whole life I was officially a small business owner. Mm-hmm. And yeah, without that time to really curate a stronger team and learn more skills and kind of also figure out, I think when you're building something, you really have to create framework and figure out how that was also going to integrate into your life, especially when I knew that I didn't want to give up on ballet, even though at the time we didn't even know what was happening
right.
in show business, in any mm-hmm. live performing arts, because it was such a confusing time. But with all that said, I really tried to think about how I could create the best structure in my business and support that I would be able to go back to ballet dancing and have the ability to do both, because that is my passion. I love to dance and I will continue to dance until it's time to not.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, have a business that can grow slowly in the best way and in the most healthy way for me.
So that's
where we are right now.
Journey.
Where is Get Golden today?
We're in 96 locations.
Wow.
Four more and we get to 100.
And so
I added this 96th one yesterday on our site.
Wow.
On the stockist list. And so I was so excited.
Wow. So these are physical locations where people can buy a Get
yes.
Golden granola bar.
Yes. A and nut and seed bar.
You have a few different kinds of the bars, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. So we're a nut and seed bar, certified organic. The idea behind the bar was to take the smallest amount of sugar and bind a handful of nuts and seeds. I think, well, when we're in rehearsals, let's say we can rehearse at New York City Ballet for a maximum of 3 hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And after every hour, we have 5 minutes. And particularly girls deal with the pointe shoe situation where we have to change our pointe shoes. We have to rip off this toe tape, put this Band-Aid on. Your hands are disgusting. And bars were very handy because you don't want to necessarily use your hands to grab anything and put it in your mouth because mm-hmm. they're dirty. And I couldn't find a bar that had really worked for me. It always gave me a stomach ache with weird additives or was defined as some sort of diet bar where it was keto this. And I really wanted to create a bar that was something that I could make out of my own kitchen but bring that to market, in addition to never having clear diet claims or anything like that, because I think it's very misleading to any, especially young woman that is either trying to be a professional ballerina, which was my primary audience, or any athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the flavors of the bars?
So we have classic caramel and we have dark chocolate sea salt. Dark chocolate sea salt's my favorite.
I do really like that one. I've tried both of them. And
dark chocolate sea salt is
yeah,
just
it's
so
really
good.
But I like the other one too, because it's, you know,
the other one's the OG.
Pure.
That was
right.
the one I was making out of my own toaster oven at the time.
Yeah. Well, so many and like so much of what you're saying, I'm just remembering you during all of those little moments, because especially during COVID, when you went to California, I remember talking to you and you were like, I have to figure out like what kind of packaging, like what kind
oh
of material
gosh.
The packaging is going to be. And I have to figure out how
the
logo
design.
Is going to fit on the packaging, and this kind of nut versus that kind of nut. And then is it going to be like a 2x3 bar
yeah,
or is
oh
it going to be a
3x3 bar?
But there's like so many details.
So many logistics
that go into
and you have no idea
how
to get into it.
Yeah. And it's
you kind of have to have a passion for what you're doing if you're mm-hmm. going to be a business owner, especially a small business owner, which mm-hmm. I think most businesses start off small and to some degree. Mm-hmm. But you have to have a lot of passion in order to just kind of give of yourself to this mission. And so I think it's really incredible that you have been able to dance full-time at New York City Ballet and you're cultivating this full-time business on the side. And so one of my questions is, how do you manage both? And is it going well, or is it a constant struggle to figure it out?
It definitely comes and goes in waves in terms of, let's say, life balance. I don't know who's into astrology here, but I'm a Capricorn. And if you read Capricorn's description, and I believe it, it's definitely me to a T. We're known as being the goat. We like to climb the mountain and we just love to work. And I really love to work. And I am proud of that I'm a hard worker. And I'm not, I used to be kind of, not embarrassed, but I didn't really want to admit how much I enjoyed working and how much fun it brought me. But for me, I love to work. And I think it's just an absolute bonus when two things that are considered work are two things you love.
Mm-hmm.
With all of that said, I would say the past 2 years, I've learned a lot about myself and how I want to structure my time, where my boundaries are, and how I prioritize my time, and how important fun, play, and time with friends and off time is. And it wasn't until I hit a rock bottom moment mm-hmm. where it was a year into running the business,
mm-hmm.
kind of a little bit after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we were all a bit raw, but I think it was really when we were coming back to ballet and I was balancing both. And I had not taken a day off or a vacation or seen specific friends in over a year, where it just, after a while, you just keep burying those feelings and that desire to just chill mm-hmm. or just take a break. And that moment was a huge shift for me, where I said, I need to make some life changes
right.
here. And that's exactly what I do. And it's a constant reminder. I'm not saying it's like even fully solved right now. It's definitely, I run my life pretty much right now on a schedule and I'm okay with that. But I really have to look at where all the calendars overlap, meaning I'm very clear with how I spend my time on off season when New York City Ballet is off and what exactly I'm going to do. What are the goals for the business at that point? Because that's when I push 100% for my business. Whereas when New York City Ballet is on season, that's my priority. And so
right.
I really think about my time and how I prioritize it. And that is really looking at both calendars and making sure they align perfectly. And then one thing that I would say I have also learned is that fun is very important, which I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it is. And yeah. time off. And even time off, meaning time off.
Yeah, like
no agenda, not even yeah. unstructured time to think, to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
I read this book, 4,000 Weeks, and there's a concept in it that talks about how the more you try and clear your inbox, the more emails you get, the more you try and make your calendar absolutely perfect, the more you actually add into that calendar, and how we get to a point where we're putting play and fun and things that we enjoy doing on the back end of everything. So when I finish this project, when maybe on Thursday I can fit this fun in there if I finish this. And for me, it was one of those, I read the book and also listened to it on Audible. And I remember just walking down the street, listening to that one sentence again after I had read it. And I was just like, this is me. Oh my gosh, this is me and probably a lot of other people where when this thing happens. And so I really am now more intentional about having that fun and in my calendar and mm-hmm. off time and yeah, off time.
Yeah, it's like such a reset and mm-hmm. a refreshment when you can like have even mm-hmm. like a whole day of fun and leisure and mm-hmm. spontaneity, or even just like in the evening or in the morning, whatever, or in the middle of the day where you can just like have a time to do something nice. It's like a reset button.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Somehow it's like a miracle just by having fun.
I know. And then you end up feeling better.
And then you're more productive.
Yeah.
But
then
you consistently put it off, and mm-hmm. then you reach burnout, which I had. And
yeah, you were fully consumed. Especially two businesses that require so much of yourself, which is dancing and being your own boss.
I wouldn't say it's not a lot. It's definitely a lot. But it's mm-hmm. also something that is fully manageable if you structure your time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, it's not the same. I'm not a mother, so I'm not trying to compare
well,
anything. It's
your
not
business,
a competition.
Your business is your baby.
But your business is your baby, where mm-hmm. I would consider it my family and my baby. And so there is something at home that I constantly have to take care of.
And nurture.
And so I think of it that way a lot, too, where that's how it takes up a lot of your time.
Mm-hmm. Switching subjects a little bit, what is your... Do you have an exercise regimen that you like to do, either in addition to your dancing, or is your dancing your sole mm-hmm. exercise regimen, and how does that fit into your nutrition and overall wellness plan, mm-hmm. so to speak?
When I was coming back from my first injury, I was diagnosed with a condition called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, and it's a hypermobility condition that is actually pretty common, but it just depends on the severity of how you have it, and it can impact a lot of how your joints work, how your muscles fire, and your instabilities and your flexibility and all of that. And for me, it changed a lot of how I had to strengthen and how I had to even work out and think about. I couldn't necessarily carry the heaviest amount of weight, let's say taking a group class, because I can go into such a range that is so abnormal and then sublux my joints.
Mm-hmm. What's sublux?
So like when something completely goes out of socket.
Ah.
Because you're trying to do something
or
that
like
someone else that has that doesn't have that range.
Right.
It's very easy for them. Mm-hmm. And in the moment you're frustrated because you don't understand why you're not able to do it. But it's because you're not aligned. You're not strengthened in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So with all of that said, that has really shaped how I work out and how I, train. And so what I've found to be most beneficial is definitely a combination of different things. I love yoga. I love hot yoga. It makes my body feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much do that, I would say, during ballet season, probably twice a week. And then on off season, at least four times a week, because it not only makes my mind happy, but it makes my body feel so good. That on top of, I see a woman, her name is Chelsea. She is so wonderful. I see her once or twice a week for Pilates, and she helps with a lot. She has Ehlers-Danlos as well, so she really understands hypermobility and how to strengthen certain muscles. And she has just a wealth of knowledge in terms of just the human body. And we talk about anatomy, and really it's important when you're training to think about to really be intentional as to what muscles you're using and what your alignment is
mm-hmm.
to obviously prevent injuries and also strengthen in the right way. Because you can be doing specific exercises hundreds of times, but if you're not doing it the right way and you're not in alignment, it's almost it's not a full waste of your time, but you can get so much more benefit out of being in alignment. And mm-hmm. that doesn't even need to happen, let's say, with a private instructor all the time. But I think you do at least a few lessons to really learn about, okay, this is the right way to do it. And then you can take those tools and learn how to do it yourself. And so even if I can't see Chelsea, let's say, once a week, I now have a routine that really does work for me. It's bands and different weights and things like that on the machine that really help me. And then lastly, I would say there's a trainer. His name is Joel. And he does a lot of weight training. And I think weight training is really important for anyone. But I think as women age, osteoporosis is it's something that we have to be concerned about. And bone health and muscle strength, that all ties back to weight training and having muscles to support the body structure as we age. And as women, I'm reading this wonderful book right now. It's called Roar. I think anyone primarily that's a female should read it. There's just so much knowledge in there about hormones, about how important muscle is and how it can support the body. And so for me, working with Joel has been really helpful in terms of having proper alignment with weight training and pairing that with other more, let's say, lengthening and different types of exercise that help keep my body healthy and strong. So that's my power three.
So it's like it's a combination of Pilates, mm-hmm. weight training,
yoga.
Yeah, and I would say like yoga is kind of like the stretching, elongating, but mm-hmm. you still make strong poses. Pilates has a lot to do with
core,
a lot of core
and
alignment,
and
alignment. Yeah, and then the weight training is kind of like
strengthening.
Yeah, the really strength and the kind
firing of, the muscles
in an
really,
intentional way.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Wait, and there's one more. I do like a little cardio burst if I feel like cardio.
Oh, cardio is so helpful. And cardio is so helpful for ballet
on a treadmill.
Yeah,
running. However, sometimes ballet will do.
Oh, ballet and is
one
on
of their
cardio.
Primary things yes. that will get you going is
right.
cardio-wise.
Yeah. Yeah, ballet, it is interesting. Like, I mean, ballet is kind of like the best cardio. Mm-hmm. I mean, it always used to make me the most tired. Like,
right.
It made me the
For
most
sure.
tired.
Yes.
I didn't get as tired swimming or running. Maybe, I mean, running has a comparable, mm-hmm. I think, cardio burst, so to speak. But, yeah, ballet always made me the most tired. But if I did some of these other things on the outside, I felt less tired yeah. when I got to do ballet. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no, cardio is extremely helpful yeah. for dancers. What is something that you would, a piece of advice that you'd give to young dancers who are aspiring to be, like, wholly healthy, like, W-H-O-L-L-Y, like, wholesome, healthy dancers? Mm-hmm. What is a piece of advice or pieces of advice that you would give to them so that they eat well, they sleep well, you know, balance, fitness, in addition to a dance career?
Mm-hmm. It's a layered question, but I think being whole healthy-wise is definitely about, it sometimes sounds so cliche, but it really is about listening to your body and trusting that what it likes and what it doesn't like is usually the right thing. And I think when we are young dancers in a studio, it's very, very easy to compare yourself to other people, especially when you're eating with them, especially when you're training with them. Why can't I lift the same weights that she can? Why can't I do this? Mm-hmm. Why can she eat that and I can't? It just, I mean, it's this constant noise in your head. And it really is about, it's also aging. I mean, you, through experience, through confidence, unfortunately, sometimes you have to go through those hard times in order to see, to find out who you really are. But I think it is important for young dancers to understand that it's so important to not compare yourself and to find people and find supporters and people that you look up to give you and help you with knowledge when you need it, and use that knowledge and see if it works for you, and to just not compare yourself when that knowledge works or doesn't work with others. That's probably my best advice.
That's so great. And just, it's simple and it's real. Just yeah. what you said, just like listen to your body and don't compare yourself to others, because your body is its own unique, has mm-hmm. its own unique makeup. Mm-hmm. And what works for you may not work for the other person, or what works for the other person may not exactly work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But to get inspiration from other people that you see doing doing a similar path that you're on. Yeah, I always find that inspiration trumps and is better than comparison.
Absolutely.
Like, you always have to remember, keep other people in your mind as inspiration, not comparison.
Right.
Yeah.
Where can we find Get Golden products? Where can we find you? What are your social media platforms? People want to know. Tell us.
Well, you can buy off of our website, direct to consumer, the bars, or we have a stockist page on the site that you can look and see. There's a map and you can type in your mm-hmm. zip code and find it. But it's getgolden.com, GetGolden.com. And then I have a social media platform, my personal one. I'm launching a Substack today. Instagram was down, which was funny.
Really?
So I was like, the one day.
Down. And Facebook.
But I'm bringing what my happened? Recipe blog back.
I don't know. Asking
well,
me.
Well, we're up. We're up and running.
Yeah. The rosin box is still strong. I love it. Well, I'm launching my blog in newsletter format today.
Oh, nice. So, does
so I'm really excited. So it'll be on my Instagram. Yes.
Okay.
But it'll be in my Instagram profile, and it'll have just podcast recommendations that have really helped me as mm-hmm. an athlete and as a female navigating health issues, navigating exercise issues, injuries, all of those things, and then recipes and beauty products, which I love.
Mm.
And so you can find all of that on my Instagram, which is just my name, Janelle Manzi, on Instagram.
Great.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Janelle. It's such a joy to see where you are now, especially considering that we've kind of seen you grow up with this business and as a ballerina. So thank you for sharing your wisdom. And I hope that
people enjoy this and learn from it.
And I can speak for everyone at City Ballet. We're all so proud of you. Mm-hmm. For continuing to dance and be a colleague and a friend, but also like this really role model as a woman in the present. It's important. And I think that people really look up to you for many different things, but for really following your dreams, be able to achieve that and combine. And we really don't know how you're doing it, but like we look up to you. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, and I hope people go and try her products because they are amazing.
Very good. I'm so excited to eat these things that are in front of us that Janelle brought. Anyway, but go get the products. They're really good. You won't be disappointed. Okay, bye.
Also, I have baptized you as the wellness guru.
Baptized
you as the wellness guru of City Ballet.